Kia ora, Caulfield Smith ho, nā mai ki te whare, welcome to the House. Every year, once a year, ministers are grilled by select committees. It's a process called the estimates hearings, which is a pretty typical parliamentary undersell, but then Parliament tends not to use names like Committee Mega Slam. The reviews are the next part of the budget approval process, and they start this week. I sat down with two of Parliament's senior clerks, part of the Secretariat for the House and for committees, to talk through what will happen and why.
My name's James Picker. My title's Clerk Assistant, but what that means is that I'm the senior manager in the Office of the Clerk who's responsible for the Select Committee Office.
I am Ed Siebert. I'm a Principal Clerk of Committee and also the Clerk of the Foreign Affairs, Defence and Trade Committee.
So, last week we heard the budget speech delivered by Grant Robertson, and then there was a bit of debate from the party leaders. Mm-hmm. And many people would think that that was now the budget done and dusted, although it actually takes 2 or 3 months before it finally gets passed by the House. And the next stage of that is it being reviewed by all of the select committees. Why do they do that?
The House of Representatives is a unicameral parliament. So we've only got 120 members and we've got the one chamber. So a lot of the detailed scrutiny work is done by select committees. So you may well have heard, Ed and I have certainly heard a number of times over the years, the phrase that the select committees are the engine room or the workhorse of the New Zealand Parliament. And this is a really good example of it, where the budget's been presented by the government, and now the votes, the parts of the budget that are subject-based, the bits that are about justice, the bits that are about health, the bits that are about foreign affairs, go off to one of the subject committees for them to scrutinise in detail, to talk to the minister about in detail. What do you want to do? Why do you want to do it? How much do you want? What are you going to spend it on?
This is a little bit like what happens to a normal law, isn't it, Ed?
It is.
I mean, all bills go to select committees. Almost all bills
go to select committees. And the process is similar, like James said, because it's where a lot of the detailed scrutiny work gets done, is on committees. So if it's a bill, they call for submissions, hear them, get advice from their officials, and maybe recommend amendments. This is a very similar scrutiny process. It's one of the two financial scrutiny processes. The estimates process is about the budget looking forward, and then the other part of the financial scrutiny is later in the year, the annual review, where instead of ministers, they get chief executives.
Yeah, that's the bookend for this one, isn't it? So at this end, they look at what's going to happen. At the other end, they look at what did happen.
Looking back.
Okay, so at this end of the budget, though, the budget has been presented to the House. Mm-hmm. On the table, there was a stack of books that was literally, a foot high probably,
yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the budget's a lot more than just the speech with a few numbers in it. In fact, the speech is really no part of the law.
No.
That pile of books, mm-hmm. that very afternoon, mm-hmm. they went off to the Finance and Expenditure Select Committee, right?
Yep, that's right.
What happened there?
It's become sort of tradition, really, that Finance and Expenditure will meet the afternoon of Budget Day, basically to break the budget up by its component parts. So that big stack of documents that you talk about is actually lots of different books, but there are 10 what we call sector volumes. So each of those sector volumes will have within it certain, again, votes. You'll hear us use that word reasonably frequently when we talk about the estimates, votes.
Votes is basically just a...
It's a collection.
A part of the budget.
Each of those votes is taken by FEC. They all go to Finance and Expenditure in the first instance.
They're automatically referred to FEC.
Yeah. Yeah. So they come along and the members of Finance and Expenditure will have a conversation mainly around, well, actually, what do they want to hold on to? Because the rest of the budget goes to where you would expect it to go to. The health vote goes to the health committee for them to look at.
They spread it around
so
that everyone gets some. So your committee then, Ed...
Yeah.
What, you got a note from Finance and Expenditure that afternoon, did you?
That's right. We got a letter signed by the chair of the Finance and Expenditure Committee,
Michael Wood,
saying these are the votes that we've decided to refer to you. And in our case, as in I think most cases, we got the ones we expected. We got vote customs, vote foreign affairs, vote defense force, vote official development assistance. So those are our standard ones. But like James said, if FEC wanted to retain one or any of those, they absolutely could do that and hear them themselves.
As the clerk of the committee, you're the man that really organises the committee, right? The chairperson of the committee runs the committee, but you actually make it happen. So you take those books, and what do you do?
Usually, as clerks, we've done some preparation before that.
Yeah.
So in anticipation of the votes that we usually get, we will start to reach out to ministers' offices just to look at times for bookings, to have them come in for a hearing of evidence. Committees will usually have adopted some indicative written questions that they want to send to the minister to have responses back before the hearing. So yeah, once the budget happens and the Minister of Finance sits down, the budget is presented, we get our letters, every committee gets its letters from Michael Wood, the chair of the Finance and Expenditure Committee, and then we'll formally confirm with the ministers, yes, we got the vote, here's the times, here's the date we've agreed on, basically waiting now until next week, and that's when the real fun begins.
So this coming week then, you and every other committee will be sitting down and having appointments with ministers.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only time in a year that committees get to grill a minister, isn't it?
It is. Most of the committees really look forward to this time of year because, like you said, they don't get the ministers very often. They certainly don't get them for annual reviews because that's a backward-looking exercise. So
if you're a member of the opposition, this you'd just be salivating over this.
Well, this is definitely the opposition's opportunity
to
engage with the minister in a public forum.
What do they want to know from the ministers? What sorts of things do they want to ask?
Well, it really depends on what's in the vote. If there's a lot of new initiatives, if the spending has gone dramatically up or dramatically down, if there happens to be anything that the opposition might find controversial, if there's anything in the news that might be reflected in the votes. So it really depends.
So it's meant to be a conversation about plans for the future?
It's meant to be that.
It often seems to be questions about what's happened over the previous year or what is currently happening, not what is going to happen next year. Is that right?
It is the effect of politics on a scrutiny process. I mean, Parliament is a intensely political environment, and MPs and committees are going to be interested in what they're interested in. The estimates process is forward-looking. What are you going to be doing, in this particular case, in the 1920 financial year? The effect of politics on that is that MPs want to ask the minister about what they're doing now or what they've been doing. As ministers, obviously, are accountable to the House for the things that they have responsibility for.
And this is their only chance to do that.
That's it. You've got questions in the House, written questions, and then when ministers turn up at Select Committee.
Yeah.
They're kind of the three occasions on which MPs are going to have a crack at a minister. They're going to ask ministers questions about what's happening now or what has been happening. The great irony is that Ed's mentioned the annual reviews process when the House looks at how the money was spent. They're supposed to talk to chief executives. The purpose of the process is to talk to chief executives about what has happened. They tend to talk to chief executives about what is happening and what they're going to be doing in the future to address problems that are in the right now.
Yep.
So the effect of politics on it can sometimes be that it ends up being a little bit backwards. But you hit the nail on the head.
Now, I've noticed also, because, you know, politics comes into it, that mm-hmm. ministers treat this in different ways. So there's a certain amount of time. You will sit down like half an hour or what have you, to sit down with a minister to talk through a vote, right?
Yes, based on what the committee has agreed.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it will kick off with the minister speaking for a little while through sort of the general thing and then questions from the committee. I remember the Minister of the Police in the previous mm-hmm. government very cleverly spent 90% of that time doing her sort of general introduction. And everyone found it very difficult to make her stop, which meant that there was very little time left for anyone to actually mm-hmm. ask questions, which I have to say was quite clever.
Everybody's prepping. So Ed's talked to you about the preparation that the guys in the teams are doing for what the committees might get allocated and what they're going to do. Opposition members are prepping. They're going to probably spend this week alongside their research units going through the budget, looking at the things that they're responsible for. They'll come with questions pre-prepared.
Yep.
Ministers are prepping. What do they want to say to the committee? What do they want their introduction to be? What are their lines that they want
their
to get
messages.
Out? What's their message that they want to get
and
out?
And what difficult questions might come up that they have to handle?
Everybody's prepping. Yeah.
A lot of them, I think, I've heard that sometimes, you know, they'll run mock sessions just to practice.
For the less confident ones, possibly, or someone that's never done it before.
Yeah. That would make sense. But I think even any level of experience, it's probably good to, you know, have a situation where you're being given the really difficult, unpredictable
like
questions.
Practicing for a job interview.
Well, that's right. Yeah. Or practicing for a debate or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, it is the one time of the year this happens.
You want to get it right.
Yes.
There is one thing that occurs to me when I think about police. When you talk to the chief executives, they can talk about all of the decisions that the Ministry of Health or police or whatever made, operational matters.
Mm.
Are the purview of a chief executive. But the minister isn't allowed. Mm. They're meant to be talking about policy. Is that right?
Or does it depend on which ministry you're talking about?
Very much depends. Ideally, that's, yeah. I mean, that's probably how it would be broken down. But it does depend.
Particularly for somewhere like police, possibly, where you really want to leave them alone and not be seen to be having your hands in their pie. So they do the operational, you do the policy. Yep. The same would be true with broadcasters. I mean, like Radio New Zealand or TVNZ, you know, you want the minister to be far back, not being able to be seen to be having an influence on their day-to-day operations.
The process that's used in select committee is very, very similar to what you would find in the House. So where a question gets asked in the House, the Speaker is the arbiter of the application of the standing orders to the relevance of the question or whether or not it's in order, or the same thing basically applies at select committee. The chairperson will rule on, okay, well, the question's okay. If a minister during an estimates hearing at select committee were to say, well, I'm sorry, that's an operational matter for the commissioner of police or the chief executive of this department or that agency, then it really it's up to the chairperson to sort of manage that process as they go through about, okay, well, you know, and there's always the ability for ministers, much as they do in the chamber, to say at select committee, well, it's not in the public interest for me to answer that question.
And they're the only person that gets to decide that?
Yep.
Right.
They can also say they'll come back with a written response later.
Right.
If they can't answer or don't want to answer at the time. And a lot of them bring their chief executives or management teams with them to these hearings. They don't have to. Mm. It's up to the ministers to decide who they want to bring along. Sometimes in anticipation of those kind of questions, they will bring some of the management team along.
Okay.
Yeah. Specific numbers.
Yeah.
If you're asked, if a minister gets asked for a specific number of things, they might not have that answer to hand, but somebody from the corporate services part of a particular department or the chief executive may well have that information to hand and are able to support the minister.
Yeah. Right. Once that's all happened, you and all the other clerks like yourself have to, very unfortunately, sit down and write reports back from that to the House, right? You write a, this is what we heard, this is what we found, here's what we think.
Yes.
When do you do that?
So this year, the process is a little bit different. Next week and the week after have been designated as estimates weeks. So this is something that we've done in the past one or two times, I think. Mm. But this time, it's actually, there's a little bit greater scope with these estimates weeks. So they're designated that way. They're regular sittings of the House. Nothing really changes except that committees are given permission to meet when they usually wouldn't be allowed to meet. So they can meet while the House is sitting, and there's an expectation on ministers to make themselves available to committees over these 2 weeks. It's been done, I think, to facilitate the booking of busy ministers with committees. The third week of the sitting block, not an estimates week, but certainly estimates hearings could happen. And after that, there will be a three-week non-sitting block. We on the secretariat teams will write up the draft reports. And everything has to be done and reported back to the House 10 weeks from Budget Day, so I think it's the 8th of August this year.
Okay. And then to accompany the great stack of budget documents, there will then be an actually really quite decent telephone book of reports from all the committees as well, which will then lead to another debate.
That's right.
As the House does sort of the equivalent of a second reading, I suppose, because when a bill goes to committee and it comes back, then the House sort of has a debate around the report from the committee.
Yep.
They will have that same debate in the House.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier on that, you know, in drawing a comparison between estimates and legislation, that most bills go to select committee. A couple that don't go to select committee and are really what I would describe as sort of just legislative vehicles really for a House process are appropriations bills. So the piece of legislation that got introduced on Budget Day, the Appropriations Estimates 2019-20 Bill, I think is its title, the committee stage of that, so ordinarily when for a normal piece of legislation, when we have committee of the whole House and they go through the bills either part by part or it is replaced for an appropriations bill, with a debate on the reports from the committees on the estimates. It's 10 hours in length. There are 10 sectors.
So debated thematically.
You can kind of see how it might get broken up. And parties get allocated 5-minute speaking slots proportionate to their size in the chamber that they will decide how to use across the 10 sectors.
So they could spend all of them talking about defence or all of them talking about health, or they'll probably actually smatter them around.
100% right.
Yep. Yeah.
E te whakarongo koe ki te whare, you've been listening to The House. He hotaka e puake nā teitahi pūtia āwhina, no mai i te pāramata, mā te wā.